This is the Planta Online program here at thecommentary.ca. Last year, for the first time, I went to a Bard on the Beach production. The lilt of Shakespeare's words, along with the enthusiasm and aptitude of the performers, as well as the North Shore Mountains, made for a remarkable evening, one that's highly recommended. Bard on the Beach is already open, running through to the 24th of September. Making a return appearance, I am joined this morning by Christopher Gaze, the artistic director of Bard on the Beach. The playbill this season includes A Midsummer Night's Dream, Measure for Measure, The Winter's Tale, Troilus and Cressida, as well as other fun and interesting events worth checking out throughout the summer. Ticket prices range from $17 to $29.50, and those as well as more information can be had at their website, bardonthebeach.org, or by calling 604-739-0559. When I spoke to him just over a year ago, he said if I ever went to a Bard production, I'd be hooked. By golly, he was right. Please welcome once again to the Planta Online program, Christopher Gaze. Good morning, Mr. Gaze.
So you're on the hook.
I am, yes. Okay. Are you Dr. Gaze yet, by the way?
Ooh, I'd say you have been. I will be in October. SFU have honored me with a Doctor of Fine Arts honorary. But nevertheless, I'm looking forward to that.
You've had every award, every Hall of Fame, every sort of accolade from the government and so on. Is there anything that you still seek to do or seek to receive? Or?
Seek to receive? Well, I think we had the Lieutenant Governor come to Bard on the Beach the other day of British Columbia, Iona Campagnola. Now, that's a job that would intrigue me. But,
And her term is up soon, isn't it?
It is. So, you know, from artistic director to lieutenant governor, you know. Is there no end to this man's ambition?
And the costumes, you'd look good in the costumes.
That's
probably.
What I think. I mean, you know, with the RCMP around, and it'd be a great show, and I'd like that.
Well, one of the things, when I went last year, that I was struck by were the amount of volunteers, the number of volunteers, and the... I shouldn't be surprised by that, but I was also surprised by just the community, the number of people that went out there. They were so enthusiastic, and they were so ready for opening night. It was nearly amazing.
Infectious.
Yeah. Does that core support from the community, does that surprise you year in and year out?
Yes, I think it does surprise all of us, but I think that if you're around during and towards the end of the season, as people are beginning to say farewell to the season and each other, you start to realize what a tremendous connection there is in this art form, in this participation, in the success of the venture, where it is, the whole vibrancy of it. You start to see how people do fall in love with it, and my goodness, it's become a central part of what we do. And do you know, I mean, we have a round-year volunteer coordinator now. She works all the year with us. Yes, obviously, in the wintertime, it's a couple of days a week, not full, but when the season is a month or two away, she's full-time and done a marvelous job, Valerie Wright. But we now do volunteer interviews for about 200 volunteers. So, and then volunteer training. And these people already are, you know, many of them are professionals in all sorts of fields. But they become extremely au fait with what we do, and their pride of ownership of the festival is the similar sort of pride that I feel, and we all do. So, it's a great thing.
Now let's run through the season. We'll go show by show. Already running on at the main stage tent is A Midsummer Night's Dream. Now, this was the first production you did 17 seasons ago, was it not? And you've done it since?
That's right. I think we've done it four times since, and that's not including up in Kelowna where we did it in 2003, but down here in Vancouver, it's four times. We did it 90, a new production in 91, 99, and now four times.
What makes it so producible, I guess, is the
well,
word.
It's just a gorgeous delight, A Midsummer Night's Dream. And I've referred to it, and many others have, as a perfect play. It has everything in it. It's accessible for everyone. There are fairies in it. There's incredible humor, tremendous fun. There's romance. And it's just, and the poetry, of course, is never-endingly gorgeous. That's, in a nutshell, what makes it so beguiling.
Now, I am told that it is great fun to see this production. It's set in a different era than when Shakespeare wrote it. Do I have that correct?
It certainly is, yes. It's very fanciful, Joseph. It is, in all senses, a complete dream from beginning to end. And there's much confusion that happens in the play anyway, people falling in love with the wrong people because the fairies have got involved and put potions on people to fall in love with this person, but instead they meet that person, and so on and so forth. But I think where the director, Dean Paul Gibson, has plopped this in a sort of faux Victorian, there's elements of Cirque du Soleil and tremendous fantasy in it, I think it just works. It's so different from any dream that we've done before. I think we've gone out, it's been risky, because you can fall flat on your face doing these things, not following along a certain path. But I think this production may be the most successful production we've ever had at Barnum the Beach, in terms of popularity.
And there's music in it as well, is there not?
Gorgeous music. Alessandro Giuliani, great actor, Meg Rowe, actor, both of them, as a sort of sideline, do sound creations for productions. They've done a lot now, and they've become very expert at it. So there's music from all over the map. It's really fantastic.
Measure for Measure opened this past weekend, also at the main stage tent. What's that about? And it is set, I am told, in 1940s Vienna.
Yes, just climbing into that time in sort of the late the 30s when it's all sort of bubbling up, the fascisti element of Europe at that time, and it really works very, very well in that time period. It really gives an echo of what people must have felt during that time and the abuse of power that took place during that time as regimes took over and essentially could almost do what they wanted with the common man. Law took a back seat, or a democracy, as I should say, took a back seat. And this play works very well in that way. And so it has a great look to it, very, you know, stunning costumes of the period, of course. And it's an extremely creative production, again, well thought through by Catherine Shaw, who is the artistic director of Studio 58 at Langara College here. I think it's going to be a very exciting production for us during the summer.
Where do you get the inspiration to take that Shakespearean work and put it into the 1940s?
It's interesting, isn't it? I know. I have my own ideas and thoughts, of course, but I generally, when I have, I will go to a director or two, very often I'll just choose one and say, if you directed this play, let me know in a few days' time how you would put it on, how you see this play, how do you see it being relevant to now. Catherine came up with several different ideas, one of which was this 30s, this idea that she has now. And that was just one idea out of three. And I said, I like that one. Why did you think a little bit more about that, and let's talk again in a few days? And she did, and she said, I'm given open to the idea, and that's the one I'd like to do. And I said, yes, I think let's do it. And so we pressed the green light, and there it was.
You've got Paul Boudre from SFU doing something with you on the 10th about Shakespeare and the abuse of power. What's that about?
Well, it's a way of looking at. We wanted to pick a topic that Paul is an expert, Paul Boudre, in this way. At taking one of the plays and analyzing it, and as I say, creating an immediacy, a relevancy to now, explaining all that, and so the obvious abuse of power, because it's ferocious, measure for measure, in that well, it's a rape scene, frankly, as Angelo demands that this Isabella, this nun, will do what he wants, and without any consent from her. And this is an abuse of power, and it's evoked several times during the play, and in many of our other plays during the season. There is this abuse of power, and we wanted to look at that, pertaining to Shakespeare's plays. And so Paul is the man, and he will lead it, and Mary Hartman, our Director of Education, myself, and the director, Catherine Shaw, will be there. So I think it'll be a very interesting session for people that want more than just seeing the play, and I think it's only $5, so that's really just to make sure that people come when they say they're going to come.
Now, you talked about the relevancy of Shakespeare to today. Is there anything, any relevancy to current events, do you think, political situations in the world today?
Well, I read the Georgia Strait article with Catherine Shaw the other day, talking about Measure for Measure, and she sees aspects of the Harper government trying to drive through their agenda as to that's in our own country, pertaining to Measure for Measure. Not necessarily abuse of power, but knowing that their power base is strong, trying to drive their own agenda. It's natural, and other governments in Canada have and continue to do that as well. But I think more so, perhaps, in the rest of the world, especially you can see it in some of the African lands, perhaps, South American, well, almost anywhere in the world, frankly. So it's extremely evocative. Some people would see it in America.
The Winter's Tale is the other production that you'll be putting on at the Studio Stage. Now, the Studio Stage is a much smaller venue, is it not?
It is, 240 seats, the main stage, 520.
Talk to us about the productions that will be playing at the Studio Stage.
Okay, Winter's Tale and Troilus and Cressida. And Winter's Tale is, again, a fascinating play. I mean, the choices, the balance of the season, Joseph, with Midsummer Night's Dream playing most of the performances on the main stage. I think Measure plays about 36 times, something like that. But the balance of the season is a very bold season, and it's been recognized as such in the community, apart from Dream. However, Dream's risky too, and the way we've done it. But so taking these three other plays, in this case, Winter's Tale, Michael Shamata, the director, who's directed several productions for us over the last few years, has taken this great play and dropped it right into a sort of no man's land. Yes, a suited period, now, whenever, but now, essentially. Because it is so massive in terms of what really happens. And the play, essentially, is about faith, I think. Two kings, initially, together, and one king suddenly feels that the other king is taking advantage of his wife, and he becomes extremely jealous. In fact, the jealousy overtakes him, and that drives the whole first act through to intermission, into terrifying conclusions, and his wife on trial, and all this kind of thing. Just dreadful. And then the second half starts to be a rebirth, and culminating to the end of the play, where forgiveness and redemption and faith is restored. It's a real emotional roller coaster, and I'm sure Shamata will really create a little jewel here for the Studio Theatre. And it's so intimate in there that I think last year in the studio we sold every seat over 13 weeks.
Really?
We did, every seat. Big story in the arts. And so we hope for the best with that.
The second production is Troilus and Cressida.
Cressida, exactly. And a rarely done Shakespeare play. You've probably never seen it. I saw it 30-odd years ago. Most people have never seen it. But we're doing it because there are portions of our audience that would like to see any and all of Shakespeare's works. And we've managed to risk a great deal financially because it's costing us more than we can afford, but we're doing it anyway and hope that people come to it so that we can balance our books. David McKay came to me a couple of years ago, a local actor, very, very fine player, wanting to direct this play. And over a year, I massaged it, I talked to him about it, we talked about the way he conceived it, which is Civil War, United States, 1860, 61, 2, 3, somewhere in there, and in Vicksburg. And that will give it a situation and a focus. That's what our production in, and therefore the costumes will fall in line, and the accents of the actors and so forth. So it's a period where there was savagery, where no war is a limited war. Wars rarely last 6 days. There was one 40 years ago or so, but most wars go on for a long time, and that's certainly the case between the Trojans and the Greeks, and the same for the American Civil War. So I saw the first act the other day, and in rehearsal, and I'm again, like all our productions this year, I think it's going to be a very, very exciting evening in the theater.
We're talking with Christopher Gaze about the 17th season of Bard on the Beach at Vanier Park until the 24th of September, bardonthebeach.org for more information. Is there something about Shakespeare that makes it so appropriate to be staged in where you've chosen to set Bard on the Beach, right there in Vanier Park, with the mountains, with the sea, with the sky, on brilliant summer days in Vancouver?
Well, you said it all there, and what is appropriate about it, I believe, is a celebration of where we live. And if you cast your minds back, if we go back in time 400 years, Shakespeare didn't look out across the Thames to St. Paul's. He looked north. He looked not north, but he looked up to the skies. That's what was open there. So there was a natural, a very big natural element to where he was writing his plays for the Globe Theatre, and. And we've just explored that, and by opening the back of our tent to identify all the things that you said so well.
I'm sure you've been asked these questions before, but I've never asked them, and I've never heard your answers, so I'll ask them anyway. Is there a Shakespeare production that you really love, and is there one that you probably, you know, he should have probably not written?
Oh goodness me. Shakespeare production I really love. I still hold on to A Midsummer Night's Dream because in my heart I just love the gaiety and joy and beauty of that play. I know it better than any of the other plays, but I do adore it. I do love it so. As to one he shouldn't have written, oh my goodness me. Well, there are some that are incredibly hard to perform, and many people would argue with, why don't we do Henry VIII? Why don't we do King John, Richard II, the Henry VI plays. I mean, we will do them, actually, at Barn on the Beach, and I mean we, as in the arts in the world. They're rarely done, except for special events, because they're so complicated. They have so many actors in. So one of those plays, I would say, gosh, he was really cutting his teeth, but Henry VI, I found that a big bite once when I saw that in London. But I loved Henry VI, 2 and 3.
What do you say to, I'm sure there are people listening to us, what do you say to them, those people who probably are a bit apprehensive about the weight of Shakespeare and who, like myself last year, hesitant to go? What do you say to them to make them go this year and that they should
go? Give it up. Take somebody's hand, go and buy a ticket, come early, sit in the place you want to sit in our theater because it's festival seating, but come. You don't need to come because I'm trying to market tickets. people will come anyway. We will sell 80,000 tickets anyway, which is enough for us to pay our rent. But I would like you to come because I want to share my joy and my delight and the delight of all the people that love to come to Barnum the Beach and Shakespeare in the world with you. If you come and just let yourself be open to it, I promise you that in 10 or 12 minutes, and you don't have to be a Supreme Court judge, you don't have to have a university degree, the wide open demographic of people come and enjoy Shakespeare. Why not you? Give it up and have a go.
Christopher, thanks so much for joining us today and break a leg this season.
Thank you for your interest. It's been great talking to you.